Time to take a ride on the MCT.
Funko Pop.
Welcome in to the Modern Christian Dudes Podcast. My name is Jeremiah Johnson. I got my best friend in the entire world, Funko Pro Greg Walden. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Funko Pro. Guess what? It's October.
Yep.
That nice, crispy coolness is in the air early in the mornings, and then about mid-afternoon here in southwest Missouri, it's perfect. I love it. I love the fall weather. So
yeah, we actually got some 30-degree weather overnight. Was it Friday? Oh, into Saturday, you got down to 38 degrees. I had to turn the heater on.
I liked it. I was very happy about it. I am a Nebraska guy originally. I've lived in South Dakota, went to college in Minneapolis. So, you know, a part of me is a cold weather guy.
Yeah.
But, man, southwest Missouri this summer was a roaster here and there. Yeah. So I am happy. I'm happy. I'm not going to complain at all about cool weather. So,
well, there's a couple things I like about winter is obviously not having to mow.
Amen.
Mowing is always.
Oh, no, I like to mow. Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't mind mowing. It just sometimes that mowing comes at inconvenient times. Like, you got other things to do, but you got to mow.
Very true.
And, too, obviously, all the holidays. I mean,
yep.
So that's my two favorite parts about winter. I'll be honest with you, I don't like cold. I heat doesn't bother me. I just don't like cold.
It's good for inflammation. That's what I keep telling people. Come on. It's good. The cold weather. That's where all the ice plunging. You got all these dudes ice plunging nowadays. Inflammation. Yeah. Inflammation causes sickness.
Yeah.
So
well, I didn't
embrace the cold.
I never ice plunged, but back when I was a teenager, I lived up in northern Indiana, so we had those 6-foot snow drifts. It got, and during the middle of winter, me and my friend would go. I'd spend the night at my friend's house. So his dad has an old pickup truck, so we would play freeze out. We would actually go right in the bed of the truck.
Oh yeah, the good old freeze out.
Yeah, we'd go sit in the bed of the truck while we drove around. We're like, you know, just to prove our manhood
while it's driving, while the car is going. Right. Yeah. Okay, good freeze out. That's a good. Yeah. That's a classic Midwestern. If you're not from a cold weather climate, you wouldn't be familiar with freeze out. But
we had to prove our manliness.
Yeah, go down the road really fast. Roll down the windows. Take your shirt off.
Yeah.
See if you can take it. So there you go. Speaking of, you know, so I think you got some dad jokes coming up. We're talking about freeze outs. Yep. This is some immature guy stuff we're talking about right now. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
So why don't I just kick it off with a great article that I found on usatoday.com. Disney wedgie lawsuit isn't all that shocking. It's a problem some women face. So let's talk wedgies for a second, okay?
Wedgies.
Did you give wedgies? Were you given wedgies? Which end of the spectrum were you on?
Well, I never was a giver or a receiver of those, so
okay.
I was a neutral party.
This article says there's no denying the thrill of plummeting down water slides, but a recent lawsuit against Walt Disney Parks and Resorts that chronicled a rare yet life-threatening injury raises questions about their safety and how risk might differ dramatically based on your anatomy. In 2019, Emma McGinnis plunged down a near vertical 214-foot water slide at Disney Typhoon Lagoon. I haven't been there. When her body lifted up and then slammed down, forcing her legs to uncross as she dropped into a pool, according to the lawsuit filed in Orange County, Florida. A rush of water coupled with an injurious wedgie caused severe lacerations that ripped her V tissue. let's go with that for the sake of the show. Enough that her intestines bulged out of her abdominal cavity.
Oh my goodness.
So this is
that's some serious mess.
Supersonic wedgie range or whatever. So I've never had one that bad before.
Well, we remember, you know, jumping off the high dive when we were in high school, and obviously if you didn't have your legs in a certain place, you would definitely feel it when you hit the water.
Yeah. So this is a real thing, though. I haven't had this in terms of the wedgie, but I have gone cliff jumping before. And so this is a big concern when you cliff jump, right?
Yep.
So when you start to jump off of high, you know, platforms into water, that's a concern, is the water shooting up in your body and causing damage.
Yeah, especially if you have your legs open when you hit the water.
Yeah. I did that. I'll probably exaggerate on the height, but the first time I ever went cliff jumping was in Wisconsin off a cliff. It was 30 to 40 feet, which is probably getting up there, whatever. But when I jumped off, I had like legs spread out, arms spread out.
Oh, my.
You know, and so wasn't a wedgie, but another
that was form a mistake. That's a mistake you only make once.
So much love and respect to those guys that jump from super high heights. You know, Red Bull has like that contest. And you could damage yourself.
Yeah, it's
not on the outside, on the inside.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
so it's not fun. I know that's not necessarily super funny, but yeah. But are you a big water slide? When it comes to that, the those big vertical water slides.
No, I'm bad at heights, dude. I hate heights.
Yeah, I do those, but that's the thing. They're not that fun. Like those super drop slides. Yeah. They're just, you're going so fast and water's just, if you don't plug your nose, shooting up your nose and your face, you can't really see anything. It's not that enjoyable to me. I like rides that are crazy, but that you still get like the experience without.
Yeah. I'm more of a chill rider, but I'm not into that extreme.
Like, yeah. So there you go. I feel bad for the girl that sounds pretty intense. So
yeah,
the Typhoon Lagoon, I guess we'll bypass that one. So there you go.
Yeah. So
don't give people wedgies either. Yeah. It's not nice.
No wedgies.
We've matured beyond that. Yeah. So.
But we still play freeze out once in a while.
Yeah, freeze out's okay. Wedgie's bad. Let's move beyond that. We're dudes now, old dudes that don't need to do that anymore. Okay.
All right. So I don't have a rant.
With that, let's transition dad jokes.
Do you have some dad jokes?
Okay, go ahead. Whatever you want to do.
So I got dad jokes and also got the uncomfortable work experience story.
Great.
But I'll just start with some dad jokes to kind of break the ice.
Okay.
Okay, my wife said I should do lunges to stay in shape. That would be a big step forward. Yep. Singing in the shower is fun until you get soap in your mouth. Then it's a soap opera.
Nice. And I haven't seen a soap opera.
How do you follow Will Smith in the snow?
Uh-oh.
You follow the Fresh Prince.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun. Not a slap joke, though, so I'm surprised. Anyways. I was looking for some form of slapping there.
Yep.
All right, let's bounce over to some NFL. We are in the heat of the NFL season right now, and there's never a dull moment in the NFL going on right now. So a lot of reaction in terms of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots getting spanked. And, you know, is he on the hot seat? Is he going to get fired? Is it time for the Patriots to move on? Brady, we're now finding out. Maybe it was more Brady than Belichick, these kind of things.
It was Brady.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pure Brady.
Brady enjoying life right now. Bill Belichick, okay, here's what I will say. I'm going to say this is going to be controversial. Bill Belichick, even people like Donald Trump a little bit, I'm going to go President Trump, when you're a total jerk to people, like you kind of reap what you sow. You know, like Bill Belichick is a classic jerk, man. I mean, he has been a jerk to people, press conference people. And sometimes you like, I don't know, is it coming back to him here or what?
Well, I don't know all the intricacies of what happened inside the locker room and stuff. But, you know, I mean, during the, you know, Patriots, you know, dynasty era, I mean, he was well known for being, I mean, he focused more on the team. He wasn't really loyal to any particular person. He's like, okay, yeah, you perform great, fine. But if you don't live up to the standards, I don't care how good you are, I'm going to get rid of you.
Yeah, he definitely had that. It led to success. But anyway, when success is not there, it doesn't seem. You know, it's just, here's what it is. It seems like there's ebbs and flows, and the game has kind of moved past him. His style of coaching, his style of just coaching in organizationally and player wise, it just seems like it's a different game now. So a good example would be, I'm an NBA guy, Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs. They haven't had success for some time now. He hasn't had gone are the days of Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, David Robinson, and his manners and style of coaching. It hasn't been successful.
Well, back with the famous run and shoot that the Oilers used to have, the run and shoot, the Oilers perfected the run and shoot offense. And everybody was trying to copy the run and shoot.
Okay.
But then you had Marty Ball, which we can't see was when I first started watching him under Marty Schottenheimer. And his Marty Ball, I mean, the Marty Ball offense that he had, I mean, it was great during the season. I mean, he had really a lot of good, successful seasons. But when he got to playoffs, it just never panned out for him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, like any team, the team will develop a style of offense or style of coaching, but problem is eventually other teams start figuring it out.
Yep.
And then they figure out how to beat it.
Yeah.
Then you have to adjust otherwise everybody's going to keep beating you because they know the game you're playing.
Yep. And then, and it's like clothing. Sometimes it all comes back around, you know, certain stuff that was popular, then people start doing it again. And so there you go. So it was an interesting weekend. Just pulling up some scores here. The Jaguars beat the Bills. That was in London. So that was a little bit of a surprise. The Detroit Lions, they're looking super tight right now. The Miami Dolphins, I think that's one of the big teams this year that's looking poised to potentially be a contender. Patriots getting spanked 34-0 by the Saints. The Ravens got beat. They're pretty upset about that. So as of right now, the teams that are looking like the perennial Super Bowl favorites are the Philadelphia Eagles, looking solid. They're undefeated, 6-0, 5-0, 5-0 right now. 5-0,
yeah.
We got the Chiefs, who are 4-1. They're looking okay. I'm still kind of concerned about this whole Taylor Swift thing. I think she's going to botch this whole season for us right now.
Now, to do that, did you know that EA Sports – already has the Madden cover for Madden 25.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Taylor Swift on
Taylor
Madden.
Taylor Swift on Madden.
Yeah, they should put her on, because that is there's the epic Madden curse, they say, the Madden cover curse.
Yeah.
She needs to get on there. She's destroyed too many other people's
lives.
Yeah,
she's been she's been at the last three Chiefs games. Or she, at least, I know the last two Chiefs games, but I think she was also flew down with him for this week's game. I don't know if she was actually in the stands or not, but yeah, everybody's I'm getting tired of hearing about Taylor Swift.
It's kind of waned. And then the last one, which, you know, there are some teams that, like the 49ers, 42-10 last night, spanking those Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys are so overrated, man. They're just every year overrated.
You got to feel sorry for the fans, man.
Yeah. You think Jerry Jones could buy his way back into this thing, but he can't.
Yeah. I do feel sad for the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. Let's move on to some other stuff. So NFL, basically you got the 49ers, you got the Philadelphia Eagles looking like in NFC, got the Chiefs looking like still if they can stay healthy.
I'd be there. Honest with you, I love the Chiefs. I don't see them Dolphins. I don't see them doing anything this year. I don't see them making it this year. I mean, they'll make the playoffs. I think they'll make the playoffs because the rest of the teams in their division are a week. I mean, Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders are. I mean, they'll win the division, AFC West. That's not. But I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl this year.
All right, let's bounce over. Let's talk some Ahsoka real quick here, if you guys watch online. Yeah. Ahsoka, so I was kind of indifferent on it, and I watched Screen Crush. If you like a YouTube channel and you really need to like understand shows, go to this YouTube channel called Screen Crush. They really go deep dive on it. And so he was down on it. Screen Crush, this guy, he's usually up on a lot of stuff, but he was down on Ahsoka in terms of character development. And I agree with that now, because he helped explain what I was feeling, okay? So when I watched Ahsoka, I was like, this is good, but I don't really know what's happening, you know? I'm not that Star Wars dude that at Marvel, I'm deep in it, so I can like go deep, but on the Star Wars, I'm not super deep. So I ended up saying like, I don't understand like the characters totally. So I can't really connect emotionally to what's happening.
Right.
And then I'm not a zombie guy. So once they start doing zombie stuff, I start checking out
Stormtrooper zombies.
Lead us in this. Help us out, Greg Walden.
Well, one, obviously to understand the Ahsoka series, you'd have to watch all the clone. Basically, you'd have to been really into the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels.
Okay, which neither one I'd got into.
Yeah, so if you were not familiar with the Clone Wars or the Rebels series, you would have been lost with Ahsoka because you wouldn't understand her character. But even that, this goes to a bigger problem I have with 8-episode seasons, because 8-episode seasons, with the way how they do them, there's not enough time for character development. I mean, there's just not enough time. The season's over before you even realize it starts. And so you have, and you know, with especially with Disney, and probably with a lot of other ones, but at least with Disney and with Star Wars, at least 1/3 of those episodes are just going to be filler episodes.
Yeah.
And so when you have a filler episode, you're really not doing any character development for the most part. You're just throwing a filler episode in there. You may give some plot, but you're really not hitting the plot. You're just kind of like going on a side quest type of thing. And so that even lessens the character development. So I think they need to get away from these 8-episode seasons and go back to 16-episode seasons, where you can have your filler episodes, but you can also focus on character development.
Who's the guy that they found on the planet, discovered at the end, that he See?
Oh, the you're talking about the end when he was on top of the... Oh, the
he was a star stormtrooper, and he actually escaped. Who's that? I don't even know. Like,
right.
That's like the main guy. They left a hanger with that guy.
You're talking about the Ezra guy?
Yeah, Ezra. I don't even know who this is.
Well, Ezra, he was in Rebels. If you didn't watch Rebels, you wouldn't know who Ezra was. Ezra was introduced
in the
Rebels.
I mean, I was just starting to flow with Ahsoka a little bit, and then they bring in this Ezra guy. I'm like, I don't even know who this is.
Right, but you'd have to know the story of you'd have to watch the four seasons of Rebels, because at the end of Rebels, Ezra is on the story on that same Star Destroyer with Thrawn, and the Purrgil whales, you know, takes him off, and that's how Ezra and Thrawn ended up on that planet that you saw in Ahsoka.
Thrawn did scare me though. He was scary.
Thrawn, good. Thrawn, now you'd also have to know the backstory of Thrawn. I mean, obviously you had to read the books and the comics to mm-hmm. really understand that Thrawn was a Kryss. He was part of the Kryss people, and he was the guy's like super intelligent. I mean, Thrawn is like the most military intelligent person that you can find. This guy is like, he seems like he's always a step ahead. He's very militarily skilled.
Okay.
I mean, he was so skilled.
By watching him.
He offered his services to the Emperor. And Emperor, you know, obviously he came up in the ranks of the Empire really fast up to the point of being a Grand Admiral. He was pretty much way up there on the top of the military chain of command.
Wow. I want to be a Grand Admiral.
And so he
those pants, those like no.
But he gets sucked in. He gets into the battle we call the Battle of Lothal, which is the last battle of the Rebel series. And Ezra goes up to the Star Destroyer to surrender. And anyways, the battle takes place, blah 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 blah, and the Purrgil whales show up, and they latch onto Admiral Thrawn's Star Destroyer. But Ezra obviously has to hold Thrawn at bay, so he can't. Obviously, they're like, "Ezra, get off the Star Destroyer." He says, "I can't." And then they whisk off into the hyperspace.
See, just you explaining it describes how confusing Star Wars can be for people. You know that.
Right.
I'm not saying you did a bad job. I'm just saying that's the depth of Star Wars. If you don't start watching all this stuff,
you have to be, you know, I mean, if they're going to have a Thrawn series, obviously they're going to have a season two, maybe Ahsoka or maybe called Thrawn, but obviously they're going to have Thrawn. Now Thrawn's back in the regular Star Wars universe. He's gathering up the remnants of the Empire to go take on the New Republic to try to stomp it out. Mm-hmm. And so obviously now the question is, okay, where did the First Order come from? Is the strong
I just think like they left, it was confusing,
right,
to a moderate fan like me. And then also even to, so like Screen Crush, this dude's like knows the canon, everything, and he was kind of saying where they botch a lot of things was even too on like Anakin Skywalker, like the girl, she used the Force in one of the final attacks. So like, well, how, you know, why is it taking other Jedi so long to learn the Force, and she just learns it in like 2 weeks?
And that was with the movies too. look at the Last Jedi, the you know, back into the sequels, where, you know, Leia had, you know, there was no nothing given that Leia. I mean, they did hint in the last movie about her Jedi. Luke did train her and stuff, but in Episode 8, nobody knew that she had any training. That she had any type of Jedi training. And then when the Kylo Ren, you know, Lovely hits the bridge and she gets sucked out into space, all of a sudden she does a little Mary Poppins action. And I'm like, okay, how did she know how to do that? I mean, there's like, she just does a Mary Poppins out of nowhere. Like, everyone's like, baloney, you know, like, it's like, you know, you can't be a Jedi. Yes, you might have Jedi, you might be Force sensitive, but you've got to be trained, you know? But yeah, so it's
great spiritual, you know, for, you know, Force sensitive. Are you Force sensitive or Jesus sensitive? Are you cheesy? Yeah, anyway. So I would say as a moderate Star Wars fan, I mean, I've watched the main ones and then all the main movies. I haven't gotten into the Clone Wars and all those sub episodes. You know, I don't know if you'll like it or not. You know, I think it'll be a little bit. It took me a minute to get into it, and then I got into it, and then they threw in the Ezra and the zombies, and then I was out of it.
Well, this goes off, and people are starting to knock Dave Filoni. See, Dave Filoni.
Is full of baloney?
No. Well, no, Dave Filoni. He excelled with the animated series, like with Clone Wars and Rebels. His storytelling was on spot. I mean, Dave Filoni, they were a lot of Star Wars, you know, diehard Star Wars fans were like deifying Dave Filoni. He's like, oh, he's saving everything. But I guess now, but the problem when he converted over to doing live action, but you gotta realize, I don't think there's a lot of Disney executives that are pushing on what he can and can't do. So he may have been have some constraints on what he can. I mean, he wants to tell a story, but obviously, you know, there's executives and all that stuff kind of, well, you can and can't do this. This is what we want, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of pressure. So I think he's getting a lot more pressure on the live action than he is when he did the animated series. Because the Clone Wars is a masterpiece. In the Rebels, I didn't the Rebels the storytelling in Rebels was really good too. I didn't really like the art style because they changed up the art style. It looked too Disney like. Rebels is it's a good storyline. A lot of great story arcs in the Rebels, but they made the characters look too Disney like. I mean, I'm trying to look for Goofy.
Yeah,
gosh, Mickey. You know, I'm like the. I wish they would have stuck with the same animated style as he did with the Clone Wars, but it wasn't a bad. I mean, it was really good. If you can get past it, the drawing style, it's not bad. It's not a bad story.
It's that the grand admirals of Disney are,
yeah,
keeping us down.
And,
you know?
And of course, obviously, they did also make Rebels more kid friendly. So at the first they're like, we can't kill the stormtroopers, so they start stunning. Every time they shoot, they was like the hills will blue. They would just stun them.
Yeah,
like, this thing is Star Wars.
And I didn't think that was one other thing I would say is I didn't think the lightsaber battles were that amazing. A lot of people were like, "Oh man, the lightsaber battles were good." I thought they were.
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't impressed with them.
Subpar, but just average. I wasn't like, that was epic.
Well, and of course, in the Clone Wars, Ahsoka was extremely agile and acrobatic. So obviously, to make the live action Ahsoka. I mean, how would you make somebody, to that same level? But, I mean, maybe a budget, too. Maybe some budget. I mean, they spend a lot of money on these things. But
they did bring up the writer's strike, too, as potentially things that are creating chaos and all that.
But
film world
overall, I think that Disney can prove by getting away from eight episode seasons, go to 16 episode seasons, and allow Filoni to have better creative control over the over the storytelling and content and character of it. Mm-hmm. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah. All right. Disney, listen to Funko Pro Greg Walden here. I'm sure they're going to get plenty of feedback. So anyway, and now I got to move into Loki now and see if
dude
what that old. I haven't watched any of it yet.
So. I tried to watch the first episode, but I was getting lost, man.
Okay.
I
just think that that's where all that stuff is at in Disney. Marvel is unless you're really full in to this stuff, you're going to start losing people because, moderate. This is like, let's go into politics. You know, this is like left and right wingers and all this stuff. Like, you can't lose, you got to stay in this kind of general space for the majority of people. Otherwise, you're going to lose them.
Yeah, well, politics is. I think we're getting away from the moderate. I think there's either going to be fully on the right or fully on the left. I think the moderates are kind of getting pulled one way or the other. But
yeah, well,
that's just my opinion.
Yep. All right. Any other stories there, Funk Bro Greg Walden?
All right.
You want to lay on the people?
All right. Well, first, I got to tell you about my odd. You ever had one of those odd work experiences that kind of made you like, whoa, what's this? You ever had those odd work experiences?
I have odd encounters all the time.
Well, I'm not going to mention any names, but, I do tell some odd dad jokes on the morning calls with a branch chief. and of course, a branch chief, he likes those things. But he tells his own, I won't say, he might be listening, so I won't say it that mine are better than his. But anyways, so we was on there, and one of my coworkers goes, Greg told a joke about several weeks ago when I wrote it down. I'm like, wow, I didn't know I had a court reporter, man.
Uh-oh.
I got a court reporter. He's like writing every one of my jokes down. I didn't know. I said, I didn't know I had a fan,
Yeah.
So he was telling me this one story. His grandma wrote him a letter when I was in high school. I lived in Peru, Indiana. And so my grandma wrote me a letter. I guess it ended up in India, where somebody thought IN was India. So this letter went around the world.
Nice.
When I finally got the letter, I saw a little thing that says "Try Indiana." It's like somebody wrote "Try Indiana" on the envelope. And so he says, "I thought that was pretty funny." I wonder if I went to Peru because I lived in Peru, Indiana. So I wonder if I went to Peru then to India. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it went to Peru then to India then it went to
that,
went to Peru,
that Indiana. Is interesting.
I thought that was an interesting. But the thing that he actually wrote the joke down and told it on. I was like. I didn't, I was like, whoa, he's writing my stuff down.
I forget as a pastor that, you know, everything I say is being recorded every single Sunday. And yeah. Like there's a one lady in our church who's Donna Lynn, call her out, but she's a tremendous note taker. So she's the kind of person that she could be like, you said this. And I'm like, I didn't say that. And she'll be like, no, nope, here it is right here. I'm like, oh boy. You know? So anyway,
what you can say, you can be used. Yeah.
Yep. I would hate to be a politician. They could they could get some good one liners there and take them out of context. And
but you ever hear the story about the, I guess the guy went to the Phillies game and took an emotional support alligator.
Okay.
So they said, no, you can't bring that.
Yeah, emotional support owl.
Yeah, he has.
Animal, alive
animal. Yeah, it's a live alligator on a leash. He had a live alligator on a leash, and he's taking the guy's like, no, you can't. But you can't. I'm like, who? I was like, alligator. I mean, how does he keep the alligator from biting his leg off? I mean, can you actually tame an alligator? Like, here, boy.
There's a Loki, alligator, you know. Anyway.
But I'm like.
Yeah, man. I'd probably offend a lot of people if we get into that. But the support animals that are permitted and allowed today is kind of over the top.
It's kind of.
That would be one thing I would say. I must be getting older because, I mean, I think of that. When I was a kid, man, I don't remember there being, for blind people.
Yeah.
Emotional support animal. I don't remember that when I was a kid, man. I think at best, I remember maybe seeing once or twice in my entire teenage life, like a blind person with a dog, but that was it.
The first time I ever noticed it was that when I was in Ogden, because you had like a couple guys that actually brought the dogs with them to work. And I'm like, and it was like emotional support dog. It's like, I never heard of that before. So it's the first time I ever really encountered that. Now, you know, again, I'm not. You know, I mean, a lot of people like. I mean, again, I'm not knocking. I'm not. I'm not saying I'm against. I never experienced that before.
Yeah.
Until I saw it, and like, but then I guess maybe if it helps, I don't know. I mean, I don't say anything wrong with it. I mean, as long as it doesn't distract the person from working out. I mean, and it helps him. I don't know. I mean, I like animals. You know.
I guess mine are more substances. Like Mountain Dew is my more emotional support.
Well, like coffee, Mountain Dew, tea, whatever, you know, helps you get, you know.
All right, spiritual talk today. I think it is interesting, all this stuff that is going on right now in Israel, you know, with war and things of that nature. I'm not the biggest Israel follower of news and all that is happening right now, but I do find that very interesting. What's been your take on what's happening in Israel over the weekend?
I believe that obviously, you know, Israel is very important in the Bible. I mean, I support Israel and the right to exist and the right there that they are God's people, that God chose them, you know, from way back when God created them as a nation. And my belief is that Israel is, if anybody is really out there demanding proof that God exists, Israel. It's right there. Israel. It's a real live nation. You can go to the map and see it.
Yes.
And it's in the Bible. If you really want physical proof, I mean, per se,
yep,
that the Bible is legit, well, you can have a nation called Israel. Mm-hmm. I believe that God chose Israel as kind of a witness to the rest of everybody that God is real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God is who he says he is.
Yep.
But also I believe that Israel is God's prophetic time clock. I mean, if you want to know Bible prophecy, look at Israel. I mean, the Bible, the end times, what I mean, calls end times, started. I mean, Israel was the key to this beginning of the end times. The Bible says that when the nation that sees, you know, talking about the fig tree, which fig tree is obviously representative of Israel, when that becomes a nation, and it happened in 1948, that the generation that was alive at that time, of course, I mean, it depends on the Bible's version of generation, but but it said the generation that sees that will not completely pass away till everything is fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Now, we obviously we're not getting into date setting because we don't know the dates. But
sure,
if for argument's sake that generation meant that the actual people were alive, the youngest person 75 years old. A baby born in 1948 would be 75 years old today, and that means the whole of the Bible being the second coming being fulfilled.
Yeah.
So I mean that. But again, not date setting. I mean, I just say if for argument's sake, is if that
right.
You know, there's
here's where I kind of land. Here's where I two rules. Number one is we should probably be much more concerned about Israel than America when it comes to end times.
Well,
and its role of end times. I think America, I'm being a little judgmental. I think America, the American church thinks we're Israel sometimes. And I think we think we're like more important to like God's second coming than the nation of Israel. But I mean, Israel is really the center point for this, the return of Christ.
Israel's the center
point. And what's happening there?
And here's the thing, is like, you know, if you read prophecy, America's not even mentioned.
Sure.
There's no mention of the United States of America. And I find it odd that, you know, with America's being as prominent and as a world power as we are, that we're not even mentioned in the Bible. Like, did anybody that was writing the Bible under inspiration of the Holy Spirit know that there's going to be an America? I don't know. But yeah. I just say that when we call it like the war in Ukraine and all that stuff, Russia, you know, Russia's mentioned, like in Ezekiel 38:39, Gog and Magog. Well, if you go look in the historical map where Gog is, Russia.
Yeah.
And so Russia, they basically, a lot of people believe it's the Russia-Islamic alliance that goes and invades Israel in Ezekiel 38:39, which that hasn't happened yet. And what's going on in Israel now with Iran, because Iran's part of Iran's Persia. Mm-hmm. Iran is backing, I mean, how do you think, you know, they're backing, they're supplying all these weapons to Hamas. Yeah. They're the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism. And so they're supplying this to Israel. And Israel ain't playing games. They have now put all of Gaza Strip under a complete siege. They're not allowing any food, electricity, nothing, no fuel. Yeah. They are cutting them off. And they say within 48 hours they're just going to send 100,000 troops into that place.
Wow.
And I don't know if they, I mean, I might have my opinion, but think about it, you know, if that draws Iran, you know, Iran's obviously, we know they've been wanting to wipe Israel off the map. They've been threatening it over the years.
Okay.
But if that draws Iran into a military conflict with Israel, I'm wondering when Israel's like, you know what, Iran, you're backing these people. You're supplying them with weapons. They're firing at our citizens. We're just going to cut the head off the snake right now.
Yeah.
They could say, you know what, we're going to cut the head off snake. They could go after Iran. Then Russia has an alliance with Iran. So this can turn, you know, this has a potential to turn into a much, much wider conflict.
Yeah.
And who's to say that, you know, I don't know when this Ezekiel 38:39 is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen during the tribulation. Some people believe it happens during tribulation. Some people believe it could happen before the rapture. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a possibility. I mean, I don't know, but could we see that in our lifetime?
Yeah.
But Ezekiel 38, we know what happens with the, I don't think it's going to happen right now, because even though that if you look at the Ezekiel 38, when this invasion happens, nobody comes to Israel's aid. Nobody on earth comes to Israel's aid. United States, nobody. All the country says, why did you do this? God comes to Israel. I mean, this is God supernaturally comes to Israel's aid.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If anybody from Iran or listens to podcasts, I'm telling you, you will never take Israel off the map, period. God himself watches over Israel. The Bible says God watches over Israel. Any mission that you think, if you think that you're going to take Israel off the map, you're full of baloney. You've been lied to. Because when they come after Israel in 38, their God will personally wipe their clocks.
Wow. So interesting. I think, you know, as American Christians, we should be keeping our eye on those things, right? Right. Being considerate, being prayerful, all those kind of things. But then, you know, secondly, you know, you keep bringing up the issue of I'm not making a prediction of time. And I think that's important that, you know, we have to live with this readiness. But, you know, there's still this wisdom that we need. And, you know, because again, I don't know, there are prophets, a lot of different voices. Sometimes they can get, oh, it's going to happen today. Today's the day. Tomorrow's the day.
Well, yeah, I saw a YouTube video a couple months ago, like Jesus is coming in September. Well, it's October. He didn't come yet.
Yeah.
But I don't think, we don't set dates, but I think we, as believers, we kind of get a sense.
Look at the signs, right?
We get a sense. Yep. When you look at the world, I mean, we're not naive. We're not having our head in the sands and not paying attention to what's going on around us. We talking about the rapture yesterday in Sunday school. And the reason I talk about the rapture isn't to scare people. It's instill a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
It's like the end times, the prophecy, the end times, all that's at the rapture, the second coming, the subjects that people don't want to hear about, like hell, judgment, the tribulation. I mean, that really, for believers, I mean, it should instill a sense of urgency. I mean, there has to be a sense of urgency. Why is there a sense of urgency?
Yeah.
God loves us, yes. But why is there a sense of urgency? Because people are going to a real hell. And if the rapture happens, I can tell kids, if the rapture happens tomorrow, your lost loved ones and friends will be left behind. And if you really look, and if you know the Revelation, you know the seven signs, the seals. I even did a spreadsheet years ago, back when I was doing the Voice of Modern Wilderness. I was like, what are your chances of surviving the 7 years? If you're left behind, what is your chances of surviving to the end of 7 years? And you know, I'm using the verse, like mm-hmm. the judgments that God gives, the number, like a third of the world's dead, the fourth of the world is gone, natural death rates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just kind of did a really rough spreadsheet. But I would say you'd have about one in 15 to one in 18 chance of making it to the end of 7 years. Just kind of rough. It's just really rough guess. It was kind of interesting numbers based on the world population now, the natural death rates and all that stuff. I said, you have about a 18% chance, give or take, of surviving the 7 years. Hmm. And then I said, it's not going to be a fun time. I said,
yeah.
So as, again, like I said, sense of urgency to get out there and tell your lost loved ones, tell your lost family about Jesus, because you don't know how much time they got left. Even barring the rapture, you're not guaranteed another day. Mm-hmm. You're not guaranteed to be here tomorrow. You could drop it dead of a heart attack tonight. There's no guarantee you will be alive tomorrow. That should be another sense of urgency. Like, you may be the last person that talks to that person.
Wow. Well, Greg Walton's preaching at us today, folk. And this is, I just, a bunch of verses I'm looking up here on my computer, but one is Matthew 24:42-44. It says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Right. What's your attitude? It's like, you think about the person, like, well, I'm 20 years old. I don't have to listen to that Jesus stuff. I'll listen to that when I'm 50.
Yeah.
That's the wrong attitude.
Yeah. And the assurance for another one for the believer is, you know, we don't have to get freaked out, because John chapter 14, verse 1-3 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also.
That's the blessed assurance, man.
Yep. And you just keep rolling through here. Acts 3:19-21. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So, you know, again, if you're listening today, you could be like, oh, this is another random preacher. But, you know, you need to consider your life and direction and all that stuff. Repent. Today's the day to repent and get right with
Bible,
God.
Yeah, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not guaranteed to you.
Yep.
Do it today.
Yeah, so I hope you can, praise God, we can all live with that assurance, and we don't have to live in fear. And, you know, as we read the stories, you know, we have hope. You know, we have a sincere hope that we're looking forward to Jesus come back. Should be looking forward to it. So,
oh yeah, it's awesome, man. I was like, come today, Lord. I'm like, I'm ready.
Yep, I love a story. There's a song that we've done in our church called "The King Is on the Way," and I was listening to the guy who wrote the song, and he was just taking it from a father's perspective. He was just saying, you know, he has young children, and that he'll, you know, when he's at work, you know, his kids will call and be like, daddy, when are you coming home? Are you going to come home? We want to play. We want to see you, blah, blah, blah. And he will say, hey, I'm going to be home later, but make sure your room is clean. Make sure that you're ready to go. And when we get home, we can go out and do something or whatever. And he just kind of took that kind of fatherly, loving perspective that, number one, our father is coming. Yeah. Are we prepared? Are we expecting? Are we excited?
Yeah.
And we should have that mind. That's a beautiful mindset to have. Not, oh my goodness, I'm so scared, blah, blah, blah. Rather like, God, we want, you know, it's like the Bible says, the spirit and the bride says, come, Lord. Well, that should be our desire and anticipation.
Yeah, just think. It's like,
take us out there, Greg Walton.
All right. So as an encouragement to all of us who are following Christ, I mean, obviously in this world that we live in, the culture we live in, it's getting more anti-Christ and more anti-Christian, that, you know, yeah, we get made fun of, or you may get mocked, or whatever, you know, whatever persecution we may go through, that the strife that we all, you know, we look forward to is that one day when we get to meet Jesus and he gives us that nice, awesome, the most wonderful statement ever hear in eternity. Come, enter in, my faithful servant. You know, gives us the well done, my faithful servant, enter in to the your reward. And seeing Jesus, that is the culmination of our all the struggles and strife that we go through here on this earth for Jesus.
Yeah. Guys, the King is on the way, and we're all super excited about that. Thank you for listening to the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. We went from talking about Star Wars to a real war to the coming of Jesus, and that is really a lot more important than Star Wars. Yeah, so anyway, read your Bible. Read that story. That's the best story to get a hold of and grasp of. Modern Christian Dudes talking news, sports, and God. We're going to talk to you guys next time.